You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Your Bible's tonight, book of Galatians, I wanted to say, because so many of you pray for her dad, Brother Galvan, and he has had a long battle with this cancer, and it's been a hard, difficult situation. Her mom is so godly. She goes soul winning every week, loves souls, loves people, and her siblings are watching her, and that was such a blessing to me. You know, I'm so grateful I get to be your pastor. I'm grateful for Wednesday. I was in elementary chapel this morning, and I want to read you something that they said. I'm teaching this year on rocks, stones in the Bible. And of course, the foundation of heaven is on 12 different rocks. Brother Reimers has a tackle box for all the students, and every week they get a sample of that rock of the week. And we're learning things about those rocks that are really such a help in my own personal life. It's taken a lot of study. I have one notebook, it's about this thick, I guess. And I have another one I'm working on now. And today's rock was rubies. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. It says that three times, and also four times. Also it says that a virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies. Rubies is one of the most beautiful red stones that you ever see. I told them about a movie star, her name, and they wouldn't know it, you wouldn't know it, probably Elizabeth Taylor. She was born in 1924. She'd be 100 years old if she was alive. She married eight times, had eight weddings to seven men. She was very wealthy. She was known apparently as for jewelry, and especially rubies. And you know, when you die, you leave it all right here. Her ring sold for $4.8 million. The ring that probably undoubtedly just was most of the time in a safe. Her ruby necklace sold for $3.8, and $4.8. Just think of that. That amount of money. Everything, all of her jewelry was sold. And I said, kids, you know what? When you die, and I got thinking, oh, this is just an introduction. You can't take it with you. So I said to them, how can you get money into heaven? Because God says we're lay it up. How can you get money? And it really, that was too deep a question for kindergarten to sixth grade. And I tell you, several hands went up. Your teachers were here. And several students said, you can send it there right now. You know, that's a reflection of you parents and Sunday school teachers. As school teachers, that they know they can have a little church house like this on Wednesday, Sunday night, the little kids come by. You can send it now. And I would just challenge you, as we come in toward the end of the year, look at your giving. Have you sent enough up to heaven? Those little kids, and then they all get their stone, and today they got a beautiful, beautiful, Brother Reimer's beautiful ruby. It's not authentic, you know that, but I mean, it's just a big, nice, round one, put it in their little tackle box. I think the Prince have got them out, I heard already today. And then high school was such a blessing. We were in 1 Kings chapter 14 where Abijah was going to die. And the king Jeroboam, who was wicked, said to his wife, you go see Ahijah and see what's going to happen with our boy. But feign yourself, disguise yourself, be a phony. You know, his eyes were dim, and I know I'm off the subject, but just watching your kids. And his eyes were dim, he couldn't see. And God said to him by the way, a king's wife is coming to see you. She's going to disguise herself. It's Jeroboam's wife. But you go ahead and ask her to come and talk to you. And she got to the door and she said, Jeroboam's wife, come in. You know, we can play the part, but God knows. And that man of God knew. And they said, I want to tell you something. Your husband's wicked, you're wicked, you're deceivers. When you get back to your city and you get to your door and they open it, your son Abijah's going to die. Oh, how we need to be real. I told the kids when I was in high school, never heard of a Christian school. We had a great church, but they weren't around here. I was about 20 minutes from here. I had a large high school. And I'm really a Monday through Friday. I wanted to be with that crowd. I didn't do bad things. They knew I was a Christian. They knew I went to Sunday school and all that. And they knew I wasn't going to go drink or on Friday nights or smoke or those things. But I kind of wanted to. But then when I got to church on Friday night, Saturday and Sunday, I loved that. I loved it. I felt like a yo-yo, you know, a termite and a yo up and down and up and down. And yet I'd read my Bible every day, pray. I think sometimes we present to our kids that we were such good Christians that they could never measure up. Your children are going to have battles like this. Your Christian life, there are some days you're real up here, and there are other days it's just right down here. You want to kind of get that steadied out. But give folks a little bit of a break. Help people on the journey of life. In college, those kids are such a blessing today. Well, tonight we're in the book of Galatians, and for those of you that are visiting with us tonight or you're new to the Bible study, we see so many of these books. Colossae, we saw in January through June. Colossae was that church that's located in Turkey. And Iran, Iraq, Turkey, the rivers there that are going to be used in the tribulation time and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Euphrates will be turned to blood. All that area, Nineveh was there. Nineveh for 50 years was the largest city in the world. But Nineveh sinned against God, and now it's not really much. Colossae was a great commercial city. We saw that. And yet, because of their wickedness, and they went to Gnosticism, where they merged their false deities and false gods with the God. You cannot merge gods and God together. You're going to have to make a decision, folks. And so we saw that Colossians. Well, Galatia is in Turkey. And Galatia was, as today, the capital of Turkey. It's the second largest city in Turkey. 5.2 million people live in that city. The largest city is Istanbul. 15.2 million people live in Istanbul. This city is the capital city now, but the ruins of Galatia, you'll see it. And Jerry, you lived in Turkey, and so what we said about Colossae, it's true. It's just sort of gone, just some remnants there. One of our college students, he lives in Turkey, and he's here, and he was telling about everything you're saying about Turkey is exactly the way it is. But it's a modern city now, Galatia. Apostle Paul is going to deal with these, or is dealing with these, we've seen, with this subject of grace. Because they began to merge the law and salvation. That's called Judaizers. A Judaizer is one that takes the law, and you have to keep the law. And in order to go to heaven, the law has to be met. But Jesus Christ, we'll see in weeks to follow, he fulfilled the law. Neither is a man justified by the works of the law, this book says, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It's all by grace through faith. You cannot add one thing to salvation. And so we saw that Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ, the God, the Father who raised him from the dead. He is establishing. I want to talk to you about the death, the burial, resurrection of Jesus. The foundation is Christ, it's not the law. And he talks about verse number 3, grace. And he's going to bring that subject up quite a few times. I'll have you look for that in the weeks to follow. And he said, I want to remind you that Jesus gave himself for our sins. The law did not give himself. He's establishing the law was not the answer, but Jesus is there. He gave himself for our sins and that he might deliver us from this present evil world. But then he said this to this church, and this church corrupted was corrupting as well. He said, I marvel. I'm in shock. And that's how I feel like many places I go in America. Churches that I've gone to for years that were so sound in the faith. And that little nibbling away. You know, in Exodus chapter number 32, when Moses was gone for 40 days, the people corrupted themselves. Their song was now a noise, the Bible says. Their dress, they took their clothes off and became naked. And their worship changed. When your dress changes, your music changes, your worship changes, you're in trouble. I can't believe that Mr. Kerry, John Kerry, Secretary of State, said one of the first things we need to do in our new presidency is get rid of Amendment 1. Well, whenever you announce the removal of the founding principles of any organization, you always announce its doom. We don't need to get rid of the psalm books. We don't need to get rid of the pulpits. We don't need to get rid of the choirs. We don't need to get rid of preaching. We don't need to get rid of the invitation where Sunday so many souls came to Christ here, and the week before as well, the week before that. But we don't need to get rid of that. And here he said, I marvel, I'm shocked that you are so soon. You know, corruption does, we think corruption takes decades. No. So soon. I know of preachers across America that have stood up and said, we're a great church. Of course, they didn't build their buildings. They got them normally free from somebody else that paid a price. And then they stand up and say, but I want to let you know, we're going to move this church to another Bible. Now continue to bring your King James Bible, but we're moved to another Bible so you understand it better. Or we're going to move, and they make all these decisions to remove founding principles of what built this nation. We're removing the Sunday school almost everywhere. It's almost extinct. But the Sunday school has been in America since the late 1700s. And it caused people to come to the house of God and grow in grace. I marvel that you are so soon removed to another gospel. Move from him that called you the grace, there's that word again, to another gospel, which is not another. But there would be some, we saw this last week, who pervert the gospel. We saw the moving from the gospel and the perversion of the gospel. But though we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, there's that word again, in which we have preached, let him be accursed. And so we said, as we said now again, if any man preach any other gospel that you have received, let him be accursed. We're going to pick it up tonight, verse 10. We looked at the word gospel, that was your homework assignment a few weeks ago, 12 times. It's in these six chapters. The word law is 32 times in these chapters. The word faith, this last week you looked up faith, right? Was it faith this week you looked up 22 times? Do I have it right? What do you have, Mrs. Sousley? You're looking at me like the last time I remember what I was wrong was 1931. Wasn't born, but is it more than 22? What do you have? 20? Well, I've written more Bible than you have written. So anybody have 22? I think I counted the word faithful one time. What do you have, Brother Everson? This could be dangerous.
22.
We'll stick with 22. Men rule, girls drool. Here we go. You could tell I've been in elementary and high school chapel today. Verse 10, do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For I yet be pleased, men, I should not be the servant of Christ. It would be wise to you if you'd write down Acts 13, Acts 15, and Acts 18. It all deals with the church at Galatia. And this was a young church, and he writes to a conglomerate of churches that were all nearby because he said, I'm sensing that you churches are all changing. And the Apostle Paul, he is writing about, he is saying, I can please you. Because Paul and Peter, they even had a division over this, the gospel going to the Gentiles, the gospel's going to the Jews, and the law, because Christ is the end of the law. And there was still confusion in this early church, but I think we need to keep the law. I think we need to do the law. And if we, not just because the law is good, Ten Commandments are still good today. But they've been fulfilled in Christ. We should still obey the Ten Commandments, but not for salvation. And so Paul is laying some foundation. Do I seek to persuade you? Do I, verse number 10, do I persuade man or God? I am not going to answer to you, church. It was a council. I'm not answering to you, church council, about the law. I'm answering to God. Do I seek to please men? I know that's where the church is going. Watch this here. I know that's where the church is going. But I'm not here to please you. And parents, if we're not careful, if pastors are not careful, we try to accommodate our kids and, well, they like this and they like this and we want to do this. And I'm not talking about have rules about breathing and you can't even breathe in a, you know, in a home. I was talking to one of our good men tonight about that and how that we know of men that they call people down from the pulpit because they were, you know, dressed, some men dressed in attire they didn't think appropriate. It's amazing how people that have an issue over everything normally wind up corrupting themselves and normally morally. Be careful about you're making everybody dot the I and cross the T, and you're looking at the guy that believes in convictions and rules and standards and holiness and purity and God. I believe in all that. But I also believe that you have to let people have some grace, that they grow in grace. Sometimes we'll get people to obey the dot the I, cross the T, but they're still, their hearts are cold before God. And Paul's saying, look, I'm still going to preach grace, but I'm not going to do what I'm doing just to please you. Parents, stop trying to please your kids all the time. Are we having fun? Life is not necessarily all about fun for people and kids. How about some responsibility? How about some obedience? How about respect? How about integrity? How about chores? Everything can't be fun. Don't build your family that, what are we doing tonight? Schoolwork. What are we doing tonight? Calming the house down. Where are we going tonight? Where are we going? A 3-day weekend's coming up. What are we going to go do? Stay at home and mow the lawn. Stay at home and clean the house. Stay at home and calm. We're too much, Daniel chapter 12. We're too much on the go. Going here, going there, going this party, going this activity. Seasons pass for this season. Slow down. There's something about home, sweet home. There's something about just calming your family down. That went over real well tonight. Do I please men or yet please? Should I please God? Because I'm God's servant. I'm the servant. Look at that. I'm the servant. The gospel of grace was not a new fad. He said, this is not a new fad. This is God's plan to get to heaven. Salvation. Look at verse 11. But I certify. That's a powerful word. To certify is I'm making something known. I want to make the gospel known. I certify that which is preached of me is not after man. It's not after this council that tells me that they voted that the law is the way. It's not after man. Grace is because of Jesus Christ. And he said, here's what, I want you to see this. This is not something I made up. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. I didn't go to college and learn this. I didn't receive it from some books. but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. God revealed this to me. Now, God's not revealing things to us outside of the scripture today because we have a complete scripture, a complete canon that God left us. But God leads us by the Holy Spirit and convicts us and he guides us. Look what Paul says. He gives his testimony. You know who I am. You've heard my conversion, my conversation, times past in the Jews, religion. How that beyond measure, I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it. You know my testimony. I profited the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. He said, I want to let you know. And by the way, Paul gives his testimony in the book of Acts in three times, chapter 9, in chapter 22, and chapter 26. He laid out for us that he goes, I was the guy. I had religion. I had the Jews' religion. I spoke in five languages. I spoke in more languages than you. I was educated. I was inhaling men and women and placing them in prison for the cause of Christ. They laid the clothes of Deacon Stephen at my feet. He was a deacon and they stoned him and they laid his clothes, bloody clothes at my feet because I had orders and letters to go ahead and persecute the church. He reminds us on the Damascus Road, something happened. A light showed up. And God showed up, Jesus is the light, and he saved his sorry soul. But I like verse 15. I want you to, every parent ought to read this verse. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. There's that word again. That's another reason why I'm against abortion. Where did this all begin in the Apostle Paul's life? This whole responsibility, what he was supposed to do with his life, began in his mother's womb. That's why Psalm 139, before your substance was even formed, I knew you. Look what it says. He said, God who separated me from my mother's womb. Stop right. 65 million babies in America alone have been slaughtered. I wonder what God's plan in the womb was for those 65 million kids. I wonder which one should have been the president of the United States. Instead, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel. I wonder if one of those 65 million could have been a God-fearing president. I wonder how many preachers were reaping the consequences of an evil society. Would you tell me, honey, 1,400 preachers a month are resigning? I wonder, Brother Racy, how many of those 65 million should have been preachers? I wonder what they could have done in America. I wonder what they could have done in the world. I wonder how much of the slaughter of Christians, that actual Christians in Africa, the continent of Africa, that know the Lord and love the Lord, and they're being slaughtered by Muslims and be slaughtered by that religion because they will not convert to the Muslim faith. And by the thousands are dying. And cities are being torched. I wonder, that's the American babies. I wonder how many should have been principals of schools and Sunday school teachers and bus workers by the flood. Instead, most of our churches are not running buses anymore. They can't find bus workers. Well, we had 65 million babies die. My wife and I have been married in December 52 years. 52 years ago, you could not have had an abortion. It was against the law in this country. And now let's just slaughter it. Hey, God, it says here, Paul said, God had a plan for my life. And I want you to know, parent, God has a will. We call it the will of God, the desire of God, the plan of God for every one of your children. Amen. And it's not that you can get your kids to become successful so that in your old age they can take care of you. That's not even Bible. Yeah. Bible says you lay up for your kids. Almost all the nations of the world educate their children, train their children, and then so many countries, you get married and the man still has to support the wife's family. Something's wrong there. You are setting up a real problem for a young couple. Something's wrong when you think, okay, my son, my daughter, now have a good job. Look, you're looking at the guy that had the sweetest mother and dad. We did anything and everything we could financially to make sure they were cared for. They're our parents. They're with the Lord. My dad used to sit right there, my mother, for 33 years. I want to tell you, I miss those people so much. They were not interested in us caring for them. They were interested in them caring for us, though they didn't really have much. But I tell you what, I'd do anything for them. But we're getting this thing that we think, I want my son to be a doctor, a surgeon, a lawyer, an executive, a CEO. He's got to make money because there's one day that I need him to take care of me. That's not God's plan. I wonder what, parents, you're going to have to be wise enough to every night, every day of your life pray. Say, God, we don't know what you want our boy to do. We don't know what you want our girl to do. But we're praying that you would reveal to us as parents, as we raise him, that we would raise him for you. That's why you want to put ingredients in your children that are holy ingredients. Honesty, respect, integrity. Obedience. Kids need to learn to obey. Listening. They need to learn to listen. We live in a society 7.7 hours and 22 minutes a day on social devices. Teenagers. That does not count school. 7 hours and 22 minutes a day. You're not going to find the will of God with social media. FaceTime. It's not called FaceTime. Whatever. It's Face something. Book. Say Facebook. Whatever those sites are, you're not gonna find the will of God gossiping about everybody else's problems that you don't even know what's the truth. Because some fraudulent boy, bitter at God, bitter at Christianity, or girl is putting garbage on there, and we flood our minds with this stuff. How in the world do you expect to ever raise a child with integrity and honesty if you give them social media? They're going to look at pornography long before they get out of high school, long before they get out of junior high. They're going to be into pornography. There's no way. There's no way you're going to keep them from it. You give them a social... you imagine our little Addison, she's one of our youngest grandchilds. On October 10th, 30th, she'll be 10. Imagine if I see Addison and throw her the keys and said, you know, why don't you go and bring Papa and Nana's car over here? It's 4 miles away. Just go down the expressway, go down the freeway. Just, she's not ready for that. And maybe you're not ready to not have your wife supervise your phone. And ladies, fastest growing group of pornography lovers, women, you're not able to stay right unless someone supervises you. Your job as parents is to get to know perhaps what might be the will of God. I mentioned this at our son's church last Thursday night or Friday night. I never told him this, and I think maybe that may have been the first time, may have told him one other time. But not while he was in our home. I told my wife, I said, I believe when Tim was young, I said, I believe we're living with the man of God. Now, he still had to get spankings. And he still had to get corrected. I just sensed that we were living with the man of God. I did. And I prayed every single day, unbeknownst to him, never told him. Every single day of his life, I prayed that God would allow him to be a preacher of the gospel if that was God's plan. Or call him to the ministry. Called to be a pastor. In those 12 years we worked together, he was such a delight. Now he's been gone for 8. And I see those people he's won to Christ, and he had did not know a soul in town, and now owns a building, saving for a second building, money in the bank, people saved. Maybe, and I know folks from that church are watching, right? Maybe some don't dot the I and cross the T yet. They're young in the Lord. We have to let them grow in grace. I am 10 minutes over. I'm just getting started. How did that happen tonight? I'm going to have to stop right here. Separate from my mother's. I'm glad I got off that. He said, I have a task that God gave me to do. It's talk to you about grace. Your homework assignment this week is to find the word preach. Find the word preach. Our Father, I'm ending abruptly. I didn't realize it got so late on me. Bless these dear people. And as we are establishing what Paul is going to talk about in this book in chapter 1, we thank that you had a plan. He got out of that plan. He became a religious zealot against God, a Judaizer. Oh, but when he got saved, his eyes were open.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.